You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Hey, man, remain standing as I read a basic scripture that we will hear, and most people hear on Resurrection Day, and then I'll give you more to go with that. But Matthew 28, 6 through 8, this is the word of the angels, the angel to the women, Mary and the other Mary, and those who came to anoint Jesus' body with spices and to honor his body, as many people go to cemeteries and to graves and reflect. That's what they were doing on that morning, just a couple days later. And when they got there, they were looking for the body of Jesus and could not find it. They went to the sepulchre where he was, and it was open, but Jesus' body wasn't there. And they saw the man. They thought he was just a, you know, or somebody works in the tombs, works at the cemetery, but it was an angel. And the angel said to them, Matthew 28 and starting at verse 6, he is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. That word lay is past tense. Where he was laying. And go quickly. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. You may be seated. And so here in Matthew and Mark and Luke, and I believe in John, each of these records some aspect of the account of the resurrection of Jesus on this day that is commonly known throughout the world as Easter, more appropriately among Christian circles as Resurrection Day. And it's interesting because even though Jesus had been telling them for 3 years, he was going to be raised from the dead. They didn't understand it. And he would speak it in code language. And they weren't understanding what he was saying. And he would say things like, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll build it up again. And then he would say stuff like, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. I got power to pick it up again. And they wouldn't understand. And he was talking about the resurrection. And so on this day, they came after mourning, after getting themselves together, seeing this horrific torture, this horrific account of Jesus dying on the cross, bruised, bloodied, beaten, bludgeoned. And now they come to clean his body, put spices on his body. And there are women who are doing this. And the angels tell him, he's not here. He is risen. I find it very interesting that so many in the church still debate today about whether women are supposed to preach or can preach. And the one who got the basic message of our salvation were women first. If you go to seminary, you go to Bible school, and you learn hermeneutics, one of the things, a principle of hermeneutics, is called the law of first mention. And the law of first mention says the way that something was originally in the scriptures, the first time you see it gives the intent of how God intended for it to follow after. And the first people that heard about the resurrection were women. And the first people to go, to be told, to go spread that news, to spread the news that Jesus is alive, that he was dead, but he's risen, were women. And they were obedient women. Thank God for obedient women who went and told the disciples that Jesus was alive, because if women didn't go tell it, we may not know it. Y'all know if you want something told, tell a woman. That just went left, didn't it? If you want something told, you want it to spread. And they did it without telephones, without email, without texting. Tell them, tell his disciples. And then after that, another account of scripture tells us that Peter and John ran to go to the grave themselves. And y'all know John got great revelation about love. John got all this revelation in the beginning with the word. But John was a little petty sometimes. And John will often say things like the disciple that Jesus loved. He was talking about himself. And when John's account of them running to the sepulcher, John gets petty again. He said, and Peter and John went running, talking about himself, and that disciple did outrun the other disciple. John said, I got there first. I mean, y'all know some people just give unnecessary details. And they ran. And they found that it was true that Jesus was raised. And most of us, we know that account of the resurrection. But I want us to get more revelation of the resurrection. In order to get more revelation of the resurrection, we need to go to Paul's writings. And Paul gives us more revelation about what this resurrection meant in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. And he says, and you, now he's talking about us, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And all of us were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, despite how we live, despite all the debauchery we went to, all the sin we went to, all the people we did with, all the stuff that we prayed and nobody ever finds out. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. We know from the gospel that Jesus rose up. We know from the gospel that Jesus made alive. But Paul said that's only part of the story. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So we know the details of the resurrection, but Paul gives us more revelation about the resurrection. Despite all those indisputable, irrefutable facts about early on the third day, about early on the day that we call now Sunday, that the disciples, that Mary and the other Mary and women went to the tomb, and that the angel was there, and a stone was rolled away, and they've just found the garment, the napkins that was upon Jesus, but his body was no longer there. Despite all those indisputable facts and irrefutable facts about the resurrection of Savior Jesus, the revelation of the resurrection is incomplete until we understand that it was a double resurrection. And that's the subject of today's resurrection message, a double resurrection. Why am I calling this a double resurrection? Because it wasn't just, the resurrection is not just about Jesus being raised. It's about us being raised. The resurrection wasn't just about Jesus getting up. It's about us getting up. The resurrection wasn't just about Jesus having a new life. It's about us having new life. Verse 1 that I read shows us that Jesus, just as Jesus was dead, we were all dead in trespasses and sins. And Jesus was dead for a couple days. We was born dead. Because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Oh my goodness. In the spirit, we had a spiritual stillbirth. We were born naturally, but we were dead spiritually from the time we were born. So the Bible says we were all dead in trespasses and sins. And the reason why Paul reminds us of this, because some of us, we've been saved a little bit longer than others. And so, you know, in my case, I got saved for real at the age of 12. And I lived for the Lord. I served the Lord. Okay. And I mean, I was living holy. And you know, and I struggled for one semester in college. Two, maybe two and a half. Okay. But, and so, for me, we're talking from my case, almost 50 years since I got born again. gave my life to Jesus. Some of you have been 10 years. Some of you have been 10 days. Some of you have been, it's been 20 years. Some of you have been 5 years. And so sometimes the longer that you've been saved, the longer you've been serving Jesus, you can look back and look down on people. I can't believe they're living like that. I can't believe they smoking all that weed. You forgot how much, you smoked so much, you forgot how much you smoked. You can't even remember. I can't believe they're living like that. I can't believe they're doing that. And so Paul reminds us, we were all dead in trespasses and sins. And some of us were a little deeper than others. And some of us did more than others, did lesser. But dead is dead. I know we use expression like half dead. But dead is dead. We were all dead. None of us were alive to God. We were dead in trespasses and sin, just as Jesus was dead. Verse 4 of the text tells us and shows us that just as God loved Jesus, his son, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Just like God loved Jesus, he also loved us. But God in his great love towards us, God loves us. Will you look at your neighbor and tell him God really does love you? Now, let me give you a little more revelation about that. Because some of y'all, I'm growing to love you. Because I don't know you like that. Y'all know something? You know you can't just go around and just fall in love with everybody. You got to creep up on them and let them creep up on you. Got to get that. I got to see if you're worth loving. You might break my heart. Unbreak my heart. You might break my heart. Okay? You could not know how to treat me. And so there are people we're getting to love. We're growing in love. The truth of the matter is, in a good marriage, come on, y'all, in a really good marriage, you learn to love each other. And you grow more in your love for each other, beyond the physical and beyond the infatuation and beyond all the romanticism. You learn and you grow deeper. And so at the longer you're married, the more you grow in love with each other. But God is not falling in love with you. God is not trying to love you. He's not trying to get to know you. God loves you with all his love, period. Man, that's something to think about. You get God, you get all his love. Come on. You know how people say, you know, you got to be careful. I can't put myself out there like that. When Jesus died on the cross, God already put himself out like that. He put all, come on now, you all need to respond to this. You need to thank God that he all put all of himself out like that for you. So just as the text shows Jesus was loved, so we love. The text also shows us in verse 5 that just as the resurrection made Jesus alive, it was a double resurrection because God also made us alive. We were dead in trespass, but we've been made alive together with Christ. God made us alive. Verse 6 reminds us that just as God raised Jesus up, he also made us, raised us up. And he raised up together with him. Furthermore, it shows us verse 6, just as Jesus is sitting in heavenly places, God has raised us up to sit in heavenly places in him. One of the lines in the dramatic presentation today was about low living. When you understand that God has raised you up, you can't continue to live low. Come on now. When you understand that God's raised you up to live in heavenly place, you say, no, devil, I can't let you pull me down here and keep me down here. I can't live like this. Before I knew better, before I had better, or before I had the revelation I've been raised up, I let you keep me down here. I let you convince me to live in bondage. I let you make me think this is the best it's going to get. This is the kind of man I got to settle for. This is the kind of woman I got to settle for. This is the kind of house I got to settle for. This is the kind of car I got coming, y'all, on. Like me now. This the kind of money I gotta settle for. But when I recognize that I've been raised up to sit with him, that ain't good enough. You gotta get a revelation of the resurrection, that when God raised him up, he raised us up. So he raised us up to sit in heavenly places. Catch this, y'all. So even I reside here, I live there. I said, even though I reside there, I live there. I may live here in South Carolina. I may have a residence here in South Carolina. I may have an address here, but it's in him that I really live, that I move, and that I have my being. And so because every day, I don't care where I am, I've been raised to sit in heavenly places. I was at an event this week, and it was a tennis event that I had tickets to for years, and it's one of the primary professional tennis events here by the WTA Women's Tennis Association that go on here in South Carolina, and y'all know I'm a tennis enthusiast, okay? And so we already had tickets for, I knew my wife was going to be gone, so most of the tickets I've sold, made money for, I had tickets to everything, the whole thing. Most of the tickets I sold, and then I gave some to one to a pastor's couple, and then I took another brother here from church so we were there on the last night we were there, and he said, Pastor, he said, we can go sit over there, because he met some people who knew him. And so we went and sat in their stand area. But their stand area was further back than my seats. And so I'm looking back, we got a place back, ain't no food there. Well, why am I here? I can't even see better. And so the brother, he said, they looked at me when I came like they were doing me a favor. They said, oh, hi, something. Come on in. Come on. So you can come on, have a seat. And they said, and so they started talking to me. They said, oh, yeah. I said, he knew them from this particular school, private school, that they didn't know my kids went to. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, your children went to that school? They said, yeah. I said, mine did too. They said, oh. I said, as a matter of fact, my son is in the Athletic Hall of Fame for that school. I said, oh, really? I said, you from Columbia? They said, yeah. I said, do you know Tyler Bailey? Oh, yes, I met him. He's in the party alumni. Oh, yeah. I said, that's my son. Well, like, you ain't doing me no favor. You don't know who I am. I already been raised up. Come on now. Come see, when you recognize you already been raised up to sit in heavenly places, little stuff don't impress you. I already been raised. Just because you don't know I've been raised up, it don't mean I ain't been raised up. We may look the same and I may be here, but I've been raised up to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Don't make me show you who I am. Now, Gary, see, now I'm going to go back to my seat down there, which is a little closer. You've been raised up in him. The resurrection, a couple points I want to give today. The resurrection of Jesus is the basis of our Christian faith. The resurrection is the distinguishing fact of all the monotheistic religions. Monotheistic religions mean the religions that recognize one God. And they are Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. But what distinguishes us from them, okay, because all of us claim connection to Abraham. All of us. The Jews, of course. The Muslims claim connection to Abraham through Ishmael, who there religion says was the promised seed. Their religion says that Hagar was the wife and Sarah was the handmaiden. They flip it around. All of us claim ancestry to Abraham. And we know that as we as Christians, those of us who be of faith are blessed right along with faithful Abraham. We were aliens to the covenant, but now we're all joint heirs with the covenant. But the distinguishing thing about Christianity is that we serve a God who manifested himself by raising his son from the dead. The resurrection is the distinguishing characteristic of our faith. And without faith in the resurrection, you are not a Christian. Because even to be saved, you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that what? God raised Jesus from the dead. That is the distinguishing characteristic of our faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 20, the New Living Translation says, because of this fact, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. King James says it's in vain. And you are still guilty of your sins. He said, what causes us to recognize that we've been free from sin is the resurrection. Verse 18, if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more pitied than anyone in the world. King James said, we are of all men most miserable. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And he is the first of great harvest of all who have died. That verse from the King James says, if in this life we only have hope in Christ, we have all been most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So it was a double resurrection. God raised him up so he could raise us up. Amen. By faith in his resurrection, we are resurrected. Are y'all with me here? Without faith in the resurrection, you are still in your sin. Faith matters. Look, somebody say, faith matters. Amen. Y'all hear people say dumb stuff like, it don't matter what you believe, long as you believe something. You ever hear people say that? Okay, I believe this Mountain Dew. Okay, and I believe this, I can drink this. But this Clorox, it looked the same. It don't matter what you believe about Clorox or Mountain Dew. That long as you believe something, you can drink Mountain Dew or you can drink Clorox. How many know one will kill you and one just make you high? You drink enough Mountain Dew, you're going to be high, y'all. It's so much sugar in it. It's going to put you in a diabetic coma. It matters what you believe. People say dumb stuff like, well, it don't matter. You go your way, I go my way, but we're all going to end up at the same place. Do y'all realize how dumb that is? It's like saying, well, you know, I know we all go, you're going to Atlanta, but you can go through New York. No, I know you're going to Florida, but all you got to do is go north of 95. You eventually going to get to Florida. Just go, no. There's a way there. And there's a way they're going to get you someplace else. There is a way that seems right unto the man, but in thereof the ways of death. Jesus said, listen, let me tell you, don't be deceived. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You can't get to God any other way but through Jesus. That's the gospel. So, second, want you to see that Jesus was resurrected, raised up, so that you can be resurrected and raised up. John 11, 25. Jesus, when he, before he gets ready to perform the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, he says to Mary and Martha, Jesus said to her, I believe that was Martha here, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, remember we were all dead in trespasses and sin, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Only way I can live, only way I can have the God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life, nothing missing, nothing broken. I got to believe in Jesus. What you believe about Jesus matters. It's not enough to just believe he was a good person. It's not just enough to believe that he was here. You got to believe that he is the Savior and the only substitution for your sin to be saved. He said, I'm not just telling you about the resurrection. I'm not just demonstrating the resurrection. I am the resurrection. When I receive Jesus, I receive resurrection. He that believes in me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live. Colossians 2, 12 and 13, it tells us that just as Jesus was buried, when we are baptized, which we'll be doing even after this service today, we have people already signed to be baptized, and some of them who may come, you can be baptized today. We can prepare for you to participate in that, and we want to celebrate with you. But this is what happens in baptism. Colossians 2 and verse 12, we're buried with him in baptism. You go down in that water, it signifies the old person, the old man being buried, and when you come out, I'm being raised a new man with new life. I'm buried with him in baptism, in which you also... you also, why also, along with Jesus, were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. My God. So when I believe that the same power, it's not different power, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Paul says in one place, it'll also quicken your mortal bodies. It's going to make you alive. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, used to be strangers to the covenant. But look at the end of verse 13. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all, having forgiven you all trespasses, having forgiven you all. Aren't you glad God forgives all your trespasses?
If you love our podcast and the impartation you gain from it, we encourage you to become an iChurch member. As an iChurch member, you'll get access to exclusive digital content, as well as an online community and various small group sessions. To find out more, visit rdci.info/iChurch. Connect with us for digital impartation weekly. Join Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marsha Bailey on Clubhouse for Marriage, Faith, and Family Inside Kingdom Business Network on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RDCITV. We stream live services on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Wednesday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, join us for Manifest on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.